You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drewster Cogburn.
Yo, dude!
Drewster Cogburn, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing, man. Another wacky week here in...
Wacky week?
Man, I don't even know what to call this. 2017 has already started off to be a weird one.
2017's a wackadoo crazy year. It's almost as if the changing of the days on the calendar didn't change the overall atmosphere of the world.
Of anything?
Yes. It's almost like things are going unabated.
It's, I mean,
regardless of the amount of times we rotate around the sun, starting from an arbitrary point in time.
Correct. Yes, Chris. Yes.
Weird how that works out.
Interesting.
But from our perspective, yes, 2017 sucks so far. So here we go. We're going to talk about all the movies come out in 2017. This is your preview bonus episode. We're going to go through... it's the beginning of the year, so the further we get along, especially once we hit August, September, October, the announced releases dry up very fast.
Yes.
So there's a lot to talk about in the beginning, and then as we get towards the end of the episode, we'll be flying through this shit. That's for sure. But we're going to talk about all the movies come out in all the weekends in all of 2017. So let's go ahead.
52 weekends. Here we go.
52 weekends. Let's go ahead and get started with the, what's the first weekend?
January 6th.
January 6th. What the hell's going on January 6th?
A Monster Calls comes out.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know what? We talked about this in
episode
208 with Chico.
Because we're, bonus episode, we're midweek, so.
So people can check out episode 208 to hear out what comes out the first weekend of January. We talk about it with Chico.
Correct.
So what's coming out the next week?
January 13th.
Here we go.
Silence.
Silence, yes. Scorsese Silence, which already came out. This is the wide release. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before. It's this movie about, he's been trying to make it for 20 years, about Portuguese Jesuit priests who are going to Japan, feudal Japan, to find the... their priest mentor
who has denounced religion.
Yes, apparently. He has apostatized and played by Liam Neeson's The Liams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Spider-Man and Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
The old Spider-Man.
Yes. Okay. The old Spider-Man, the new Kylo Ren, going to find
Liam Neeson,
Obi-Wan Kenobi,
and hiding in Japan because Christianity is outlawed under penalty of death. Mm-hmm. At the time. And
sounds really fucking interesting.
Sounds very interesting. Scorsese's always been a very religious filmmaker from the very beginning. Oh. His first films included a lot of religion in them and religious iconography, as they call it in the mm-hmm. Catholic Church. And you're Catholic, right?
Yeah. Well, raised Catholic.
Raised Catholic, yeah. So you're Catholic, right?
Atheist.
So you're an atheist Catholic, right?
Sure.
A lot of his movies deal with faith and stuff like that, so I'm very interested in seeing. It's been a while, though, since, The Last Temptation of Christ and... the last one that was on the nose about faith. That may have been it, so.
Yeah, a lot of his movies...
Traffic
in those themes, and mostly because, he does a lot of gangster movies, and I don't know what it is about, the Irish gangsters and the Italian gangsters, but they are very religious folk.
They are. Yes, they are.
For being such wretched pieces of shit human beings.
I guess it's the salve. The salve. The balm. Right? If you're such a terrible person with so many black stains on your soul, you gotta do something to try to feel better. That means you go to church, you go to mass on Sunday, and you see Father O'Flannery, and you take the communion.
Dude, Father O'Flannery's probably running guns with you.
Probably. If he knows what's good for him, and he wants to keep his parish. Yes, I don't know what is up with that either, but Scorsese is keyed in on that, so yep. I'm looking forward to this movie very much. Silence, January 13th. What else came out that week?
Live by Night.
Live by Night's the Ben Affleck movie, which we also talked about a little bit on the show before,
mm-hmm.
and the reviews for it aren't that great. Like, it's a good movie, but not great, apparently. Bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But we'll find out for ourselves. Who knows? Maybe we'll love it.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe we'll hate it.
We might.
Who knows? We will when we see it next week. Right,
also coming out,
yes,
Patriot's Day.
Patriot's Day finally comes out in wide release. That's the third Peter Berg directed, Mark Wahlberg starring. These are the real heroes, the real American hero stories.
Correct. And not G.I. Joe.
Not G.I. Joe. Lone Survivor.
Mark Wahlberg, real American hero.
Real American hero in Lone Survivor, in Patriot's Day, and in Deepwater Horizon. Yeah, yes. So there you go. And apparently Patriot's Day is the better of those two movies that came out. Are made Deepwater and Patriot's Day is supposed to be the better one, although I don't like it. I know why they do it, why Peter Berg does it, but it still feels kind of exploitive.
Well, yeah,
you know, taking a tragedy like that and turn it into a movie so quickly, we barely even have any perspective on it, any distance. I mean, on it,
T. Hanks did the same thing. Sully,
well, with Sully, yeah, but that wasn't people didn't die though.
No,
everyone lived.
Yes.
Contrary to Patriot's Day, everyone lived. Patriot's Day is fucking... That's a brutal story, the Boston Marathon bombing. That's so fun. It's like all the... Same through all the 9/11 movies. United 93, and it's like... Ugh. Yeah, it's a well-made movie, but... Talk about fucking up my day. Anyway, Patriot's Day. All right, what else coming out?
Monster Trucks.
Monster Trucks. This is funny. So Monster Trucks is... I'm not sure what... I think it may be Fox. I saw a bunch of these trailers, like... In the middle of last year. Forever ago. I think it kept getting pushed. They greenlit this Monster Trucks movie thinking it was going to be a little edgier. And then the director, whoever made the movie, decided to make it more of a kids movie.
Okay.
So the movie that got made isn't what the studio initially wanted. And the studio already announced, I wish I could think of who it was. So whoever produced it, whoever's distributing it, already announced to their shareholders that they're expecting like $120 million write down on their, like, their future earnings report. And And I think they even specifically said it was this movie, that they don't think it's going to make any money. And if you look at the trailers, you can see why.
It looks awful.
It looks fucking terrible. There's some sort of alien monster inside a truck making it.
Yep, because the alien monster drinks oil, I guess.
Yeah. And,
so.
And then it wraps around all the gears and the axles.
Apparently it likes it.
But then Lucas Till is his name. He gets to drive it.
Sure.
For some reason. Mm-hmm. It looks so bad.
It does.
I wonder what's up if that MacGyver show started yet on CBS. Because he's MacGyver.
Yeah, he is.
This guy.
He looks kind of like MacGyver.
Hey, he's got the mullet going on. Yeah. That's for sure. He was also in the X-Men movie.
Yes, he was.
With the same mullet.
Yep.
He's a weird looking guy.
Yeah, he is.
Right? Uh-huh. Not just me?
No.
All right, well, let's go.
The Bye-Bye Man.
Bye-Bye Man. Talk about stupid looking. Holy shit. I mean, what bad trailers and commercials. And the title. The title. The Bye-Bye Man. Get the fuck out of here with that garbage. Billy D, we expect a review. Go ahead.
Some movie that I have not seen a single trailer for, but it's got Michelle Monaghan and what's his face?
Jamie Foxx.
Sleepless?
I just saw the trailer for this in front of... What did I go see that you didn't go see? Was it when I saw Assassin's Creed?
It might have been in front of Assassin's
Creed. I saw a trailer for in front of Assassin's Creed.
I didn't get that.
And it is two or three movies in one. It's Jamie Foxx and I think T.I.?
Okay.
I think it's Tip. I think. They're both dirty cops. Mm-hmm. And they commit a crime and then someone's like, oh, these bodies turned up. I'm like, yeah, we'll take it. But that's just like in the beginning of the trailer, just to establish that they're dirty cops. And then it turns out that they ripped off someone who's like, I want my money back. So they kidnap Jamie Foxx's daughter? His kid? So he has to, like, on the low, try to get his kid back from the bad guys without letting out that he's a dirty cop. And Michelle Monaghan is a IA.
Okay.
Trying to bust him. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's a decent trailer, actually. Like, there's a lot of action in it, and it's cut pretty well. But I can tell
it's going to be garbage.
It's not going to be good. Also, the fact that it is Jamie Foxx, and it is a very easy sell of a movie, and they're not selling it. The fact that no one's seen marketing. I saw that trailer for the first time, and it comes out in fucking 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Very little faith in it.
Yes.
So I fully expect it to be, you know what, not even complete shit. I expect it to be mediocre. Mm. And forgettable.
Okay.
Which is the worst.
Yeah. Middle of the ground.
I'd rather you be terrible with your... Be audaciously terrible. Be Michael Bay.
Yeah. Seriously.
If you're going to be bad, be Michael Bay bad.
Because then everybody will just be like, wow, that's awesome.
Wow. Like, oh my God. Well, some people like that. Well, it's awesome because it was so fucking out there. But anyway. Okay. What else?
Also, hey, you want to know what Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is doing?
I do.
She's doing an awful movie with Jessica Biel and Jason Sudeikis.
Oh.
Called The Book of Love.
Oh, Maisie Williams. Save that Game of Thrones money, yo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's that weekend.
That's that weekend.
All right, what else?
January 20th.
January 20th.
Split.
Yes, the M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm. M. Night Shyamalan's
Split. His second Blumhouse picture in a row. Blumhouse does the low budget.
Well, he's trying to make a name for himself again.
He's trying to get back. Well, he's got the name. He's trying to make it a good name again. I like The Visit. I said on the show that I enjoyed The Visit. It's I think low budget is a good place for Shyamalan to really work out his ideas and stories, and not having a big budget to rely on. Like, fuck the special effects. Now you got to have a good story,
and not having a big budget to hurt him too.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly that. That he'll be like, oh, I can have these big fight scenes and all these big special effects. Like, you know what? Why don't you just try going back to telling a good story like he used to do? Remember when he used to do that?
Yes, I do.
And The Visit was good. And I'm hoping that this one, I mean, I think the marketing has been pretty solid for it. So I really like that first trailer, the subsequent trailer.
Not so much.
But it seems to be the way a lot of the times anyway with movies. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time that first trailer is the most intriguing and gives out the least info. And that seems good. And then the closer it gets to release, the more information they release.
And you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, and you're just stripping away the mystery before the movie comes on. Like, oh, okay, now I get it. So, like, every time the commercial comes on TV, I try not to watch it. Because, I just want some surprises. Surprise me with something. I also hope The Beast is a big, like, it's a good payoff. Oh, I hope it's not just him with, like, red eyes or something. Jaundiced eyes.
Have you seen the trailers, the new trailers for Split?
They still allude to something. They still allude to something going on.
I don't think it's
going to
be as good as you think.
I
think, like, thematically and everything, it's going to be...
Hopefully.
Like, hopefully. Yes!
And McAvoy is going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, because he's doing a crazy thing, sort of.
Playing however many characters.
20-something personalities, yeah. So. Yeah, sure.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. That's a few weeks away. I'm, you know, in a way, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Also coming out that weekend, Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
Okay,
because apparently Vin Diesel he's not getting enough adrenaline from all of these
the Fast and Furious
movies. Now he has to snowboard in jungles.
He's
a snowboard on trees.
He's skiing through trees and jet skiing underwater and
he's high-fiving dudes as he's longboarding down mountains.
It is a very high energy trailer.
Yes.
That makes it seem, in a way, like, how can all of these things happen in one movie? Like, there's a lot of shit going on.
You've seen the Fast and Furious movies, right?
This trailer is like the Fast and Furious action times 10 in terms of variety of action and how many different things are going on. Like, the real over the top, like, they know what they're doing. Like, this can't be Biker Boys, Torque style.
Yes.
Like, this is a very, even separate from Fast and Furious, it's a very distinct tone. Not looking forward to it. Don't want to see it. Probably will.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's good?
I mean, it might be on par with the new Fast and Furious movies, Chris.
What if it's on par with the new Fast and Furious movies?
Where it's just like, wow, that was insane. I mean, story was not that great, but it looked fine and so much action.
Just be watchable. Don't be stupid. There are definitely times when you see a trailer that has so much action and so much craziness, and then you see the movie and you're like, oh, it's just a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder it looks so insane. Because it's when you put it all together and play it in order, it's dumb as fuck. I.e., Crank movies and Gamer and, you know, Neville Dean Taylor. Those
exactly.
Guys. So, yeah. If you don't want to see Split, you can go see Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Ice Cube's going to make a
cameo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Quick one at the end.
He's doing that thing with Kevin Hart now.
What if they both?
With the brothers
in law. What if he brings Kevin Hart with him? Oh my god, what if he do a Ride Along XXX crossover? And it turns out that his character in Ride Along has been the XXX character from XXX2 the whole time. XXX State of the Union.
Yes.
Stupid, right.
Also coming out.
Yes.
The Founder.
Yes, that got pushed. The Weinsteins were, they're the ones producing it and distributing it. And it was supposed to come out like last September. And then it got pushed to later in the year, and people suspected that it was because they have no faith in the movie. The Weinsteins came out and said, no, it's because we're trying to work around Michael Keaton's availability for promotions. He wasn't available around September, so they push it out to give them more time to sell it.
Okay.
So we'll see if it's any good. But it's a story of Ray Kroc, who met the McDonald's brothers. They opened up the first McDonald's in the country.
And he robbed them blind.
He robbed them blind. He saw their Henry Ford assembly line style of making food. He's like, I can replicate this and make a ton of money, which he did while cutting them off simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Terrible person.
Awful.
Played by Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Excellent.
Also coming out that weekend, 20th Century Women.
Yes, the Mike Mills movie. Mike Mills is
We've talked about this movie a bunch.
He's a great indie director. I definitely recommend people checking out Beginners, which was on Netflix for a while. It may still be on there. But watch Beginners with Ewan McGregor and Melanie Laurent and Christopher Plummer, and you'll see why this guy is so great at just telling, you know, nice little human stories. And it looks like, apparently, this is much more autobiographical.
Okay.
This movie, 20th Century Women, in that the young kid that's in it is pretty much him when he's a kid, and Annette Bening is, for all intents and purposes,
his mom.
Playing his mom. Yes.
Okay. More.
There you go.
Also, okay, now we're on January 27th.
Let's do it.
Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Unbelievable.
Of never-ending movies.
They always do that, final chapter, and then in 3 years, Resident Evil.
Resurgence.
Thank you. No need to say more.
I know what I'm doing here.
No need to say more, you got it.
I could do these movie titles.
What else we got?
Gold.
This is that...
Matthew McConaughey movie.
This is the Gone. The Steve Gagan movie, the guy who did Syriana and wrote Traffic. And he doesn't work that much. I think he's a script doctor.
Okay.
Is what he really does. I think that's where he makes his money. He gets paid $1 million to get brought in on a production for like 2 weeks to work on their script, and then he fucks off, and then they can use his suggestions or not. He doesn't give a shit. He just got fat.
I just got paid $1 million.
How do I get that job? Man,
you gotta be a better writer.
I'm sending my resumes to the wrong places. Yeah. So,
send your screenplays to the wrong places.
No, I gotta send them. First, I gotta send him somewhere. So Gold, I want to see that just because it's a good guy. Plus, it's McConaughey looking bald. Looking bald and crazy.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be doing
he's
some
gonna
sort
be
of...
looking for gold in the jungle.
Looking for gold in the jungle, doing a bald crazy thing with Edgar Ramirez and Bryce Dallas Howard. I'm fine with that.
Also coming out that weekend, A Dog's Purpose.
I don't know what that is, but it's got that chick from Tomorrowland.
I've seen the preview for it.
It's how it's about... Oh, wait! Yes. This is the one where it's like the many lives of a dog.
Yes.
Right? The dog is reincarnated into other dogs, and he helps, and he quantum leaps. Okay, so it's quantum leap with a dog.
He quantum leaps from, he's one life with the child.
Yes.
He does a couple other lives doing other things, and then he ends up, at the end, he's a puppy with his original owner.
His original owner, yeah. Because he does some sort of trick, and the guy's like, oh! Yes, you reminded me of that trailer, and it's so fucking stupid. So just watch the trailer, and you'll get the whole idea, and then you can skip the movie, and tell Dennis Quaid to go fuck himself. Why is he doing this garbage?
Because he gets paid.
That's true. Right? He's getting paid. I get it. You gotta work.
And last but certainly not least, Bastards.
Bastards. It's got J.K. Simmons and Owen Wilson. What else he needs to know?
I know exactly.
What else he needs to know? It's probably not gonna be that good. Probably not. All right. February.
Collide.
February 3rd. Collide. This is, you know what? That first week of February, that's,
a whole bunch of garbage.
Super Bowl weekend.
Ah, there we go.
That's Super Bowl 51. Super Bowl weekend is one of the top three worst weekends for movies, and studios just stay away, and that's when they release things like Collide. And, oh, if that happens, I would actually be interested in seeing...
Rings? With Vinny D?
Yeah, first off, Vinny D's in it.
Hell yeah, I love me some Vinny D.
Which I'm fine with. And then, a sequel to The Ring? Sure.
Everybody on that airplane sees The Ring.
Yeah, that was fun. That's a fun reveal on the trailer. They're on the airplane, and then all those screens and all the TVs start showing The Ring video, and you're forced to watch it.
You're fucked. Yeah, you're all dead.
I like the idea of updating The Ring mythos, mythology to our, you know, more modern setting. The Ring came out, what, 2002?
Something like that.
And it's crazy how in that short amount of time, like the ways people can see that video have increased so much without even knowing.
Yeah.
Just on their phone. They click a link and all of a sudden you're watching the Ring video like, oh! And then the same phone you're holding shows the video and then it shuts off and then the phone call comes through and it's like, you're gonna die. Is it the same movie, right? The Ring? You get the phone call in The Ring?
Yes.
Yeah. There's also that one missed call where it was like the phone calls? I don't know. Fucking stupid Japanese wave of horror movies.
Also coming out that weekend, The Space Between Us.
Yes, this is
looks so awful.
This is like Fault in Our Stars meets The Martian.
Correct. Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes, I think that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go.
Also coming out. What do we got? Some Robert De Niro movie that's not reviewed very well called The Comedian.
Yeah, where he plays an aging insult comic of some sort, and Danny DeVito's in it. Let's see if we get any information on this. Oh, it's a Taylor Hackford film. Taylor Hackford, husband of Helen Mirren. His most famous film is probably Ray.
Okay.
But he's also done other stuff since then. He did The Devil's Advocate.
Which is awesome.
And he's produced a lot of stuff. He's been around for a while. He's an industry vet. And every now and then he makes a movie, and I'm always reminded that the word hack is in his name. And he kind of lives up to that.
And I don't know if this movie's going to be any good, but it's starring Samuel L. Jackson, and it's called I Am Not Your Negro.
Writer James Baldwin tells the story of race in modern America with his unfinished novel, Remember This House. I don't know what any of that means.
I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, it's called I Am Not Your Negro. It has potential.
Yeah. It's also... it's a documentary.
Ah, there we go.
There we go. It's a documentary called I Am Not Your Negro.
All right. Coming up February 10th.
February 10th. Is that... That may be Valentine's Day weekend.
It is, Chris.
Okay.
And that's why we're getting 50 Shades Darker.
50 Shades Darker. This...
Which looks even... less sexual than the last one, which was like the unsexiest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. The trailer is like, she's like, we're gonna do this
my way.
My way, which means we're taking out all the sex, all the sexy stuff. Are you just gonna stand there and stalk me? And he's like, yes, I am. And she's like, cool, I love that. And then some like chick just shows up and then disappears and shows up again, like she's seeing something.
I don't.
And then someone's like, you think you're the first one to try to save him? And I'm just like,
oh God,
shoot me, shoot me now.
50 Shades of Grey
and bury me
the
here.
Ex-girlfriends.
Seriously, oh my God. And it's a perplexing trailer. It's like all this tension. All the supposed attention.
I don't feel any tension.
But I don't understand what's going on. There's like cars showing up, and they're at a masquerade party, and then he's like...
See, I've seen the first movie, so I know what's going on.
Yeah. I've seen the first movie.
And nothing going on.
And the trailer makes no... Like, I don't know what's happening. You know why it is? They're selling it to only people who have read the books, and they know what's happening. So they can see the trailer and be like, oh, I already know. Like, I'm filling in the blanks myself. Anyway. Fuck that garbage.
Yeah, it looks worse than the first one. The first one was awful.
It looks terrible, and it's a bummer that director James Foley is using this movie to pick up a paycheck. He did Gary Glenn Ross, god damn it.
Ooh.
How the Mighty Fall, Drew.
How the Mighty Fall is right.
But fortunately, we don't got to see that weekend.
No. We have two other movies to choose from, will see both.
Fuck yes.
John Wick Chapter 2.
Yes. We don't have to say...
What
do we got to say about that? People who listen to the show know we're huge John Wick fans. We were talking that shit up immediately.
Uh-huh.
And, Chapter 2, there, opening night. Can't wait.
Yeah. I don't know. Or are we going to go see the Lego Batman movie opening night, Chris?
I want to see them both. I want to see them both desperately. So that's going to be a fun weekend for sure. Looking forward to that weekend.
Ray Fiennes is freaking Alfred.
Is Alfred, yes. And Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. Let me see.
It's going to be so good.
Let me see if I can pull up a cast list of the released Who's Who yet. Ray Fiennes is Alfred. Jenny Slate is Harley Quinn. Rosario Dawson is Batgirl, Barbara Gordon. Mariah Carey is Mayor McCaskill. That's weird. Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. Michael Cera is Robin. We've said all that already. Billy Dee Williams is Two-Face. We've said that. And of course, Will Arnett is Batman. Plus, if you look at the poster, there's so many character cameos that are about to come. So, yeah. Come on.
It's going to be awesome.
Come on. I can't wait. I can't wait. All right, go on.
And A United Kingdom.
With David Oyelowo, Rosamun Pike. True story about a white lady who married a black dude, but the problem here is that the black dude is a king of an African nation, and he has to go back, and then she goes back, and all the residents of that nation are like, who is this white lady?
White devil! Yeah. White devil!
Yeah, some like white devil shit, and she's just like, I just love this guy, and I want to be here, and they're like,
and then of course she wins their love.
Hopefully, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully love wins. Love's got to win sometime, damn it.
All right, February 17th.
It's a brutal world, Drew. We need love. February 17th.
The Great Wall.
Yes. Zhang Yimou's The Great Wall, director of Hero and Curse of the Golden Flower. Mm. This guy is a fantastic
beautiful
director.
Movies.
Beautiful movies. He's a legend of filmmaking in China.
And damn good reason.
For damn good reason. And The Great Wall is China's first real, honest-to-God attempt at a worldwide blockbuster to be seen in every market and enjoyed by everyone.
Yeah.
Much the way American movies are seen all around the world, China wants to get in on that market.
That's why Matt Damon and Willem Dafoe are in this movie.
Exactly, 100%. And when people first saw the trailer, they were like, more Hollywood whitewashing, boo! And like Zhang Yimou to come out and be like, first off, Chinese production. Second off,
only two white guys in the whole movie.
Only two white guys in the whole movie. There are like four or five main characters, and they're just part of them.
And Third of all, these people, I mean, it's two white guys in Asia. Everyone's like, who the fuck are these white guys?
Yeah. Maybe people should, like, watch a movie first before they accuse it of, you know, racial.
Yes. I mean, yes, here in America, we're going to get lots of Matt Damon on the posters.
Yes, but that's what?
Because that is the only fucking person you know in the entire goddamn movie.
And he's the reason why they cast him in the movie, so they can put him on our posters.
Yes.
It's the same thing we do to them when we put some random Japanese or Chinese pop star in Transformers.
Exactly.
And he's in the movie for a 5-second reaction shot. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He's in every single commercial and trailer.
Over there.
And then they see the movie and they're mega disappointed. Goes like, that was it?
Yep.
It was, you know, yeah, it's like Andy Garcia in Passengers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also coming out that weekend, A Cure for Wellness.
Looks interesting, man.
It does.
That new trailer is actually pretty good. Even though it does show a little more info.
It does, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but not enough. No. Right? I'm still like, I don't know what's going on.
No,
I know what's going on, but I don't.
All I know is that there's some creepy shit going on in this place.
In some fucked up Swedish wellness resorts, and they're collecting
people in jars.
Drips into bottles.
And people in jars.
Giant jars. Is that where the medicine's coming from? It's gotta be, right? Where's the medicine coming from? What's the medicine doing? And there's like the little squiggly things. And there's all the things with the eels.
And drops. And the one girl's taking the drops.
The drops! The drops!
But this drops are the same color as what's being collected?
Yeah, that's a medicine that they're collecting.
We don't know.
What is it? What is it doing?
But all we see is underneath, so we don't know where the medicine's coming from.
Exactly. It's coming from somewhere.
We don't know.
Very slowly. I'm very interested. Gore Verbinski. Speaking of rings, Gore Verbinski directed The Ring, the American remake. One of the very few PG-13 movies, horror movies that I like. Also one of the few Japanese horror remakes that's for sure better than the original. And Ringu is still a pretty good movie, mm-hmm. but The Ring is like fucking dope.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of Black Pearl, great. The sequel is getting worse and worse. Obviously, he did the second and third one. What else did he do? He did The Mexican back in the day.
Which wasn't bad.
And The Lone Ranger. But Gore Verbinski is him going back to horror, and it's R-rated horror. So
should be good.
The guy's a master of atmosphere, and I'm hoping it works out great for him. And for us as well, as consumers. What else we got? What's going on?
Patient Zero comes out this weekend.
Patient Zero with that guy.
The Tooch.
With Clive Standen.
And the Tooch.
The Tooch is loose?
The Tooch is loose.
The Tooch is loose?
The Tooch is loose!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also coming out that weekend?
Yeah.
Fist Fight. Which looks not good.
Yeah, it looks very throwaway. But also, not at this point, we're already on February 17. Not too many comedies have been released so far.
This will be the first one, I think, maybe.
That and the Lego movie, right? Yeah. Lego Batman.
They both come up. Yeah, the weekend before.
Within 2 weeks of each other. So Fist Fight might make some decent dough just based on it. Finally, a comedy is out.
Well,
also,
people like Ice Cube in his comedies.
People like Ice Cube.
People like, what's his face?
Charlie Day. Charlie is popular, but he is not a known quantity yet box office-wise.
No.
Ice Cube, however, is. His movies open. They open to like anywhere from 20 to 30 million, especially his lower budget comedies. He has an audience there, like you said. And if you put him with the right person, i.e. Kevin Hart, now you're looking at $40 million opening weekends, which is what they did with Ride Along twice in a row.
Yeah.
So that's why they keep making Ice Cube movies. Good for Ice Cube. All right, February 24th.
Get Out.
Man, I love that trailer. Speaking of trailers, I love the Get Out trailer.
It's a good trailer.
It is a fucking good trailer. Movie looks insane.
It does.
And I really hope whoever did that trailer, like, they were like, I want... It's a unique trailer, right? And yeah. I'm hoping it's unique because it's matching the tone of the movie. Sometimes a trailer comes out where you know the person who did the trailer knows what the movie's like. Makes me think immediately of the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Yes.
That trailer, it's like, it's got voiceover, it's got the music.
And it's got people staring into wheat fields.
People staring at wheat fields. it's elegant, it's lyrical. And then you see the movie and you're like, it's a 3-hour version of the trailer, uh-huh. which for me, I was like, this is amazing. I love it. So I'm hoping that the movie itself has that crazy energy where it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like the hypnotism thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like tied to the chair. And then there's like the deer skeleton coming out of the darkness. And I'm like, what the fuck? And Ruth Negga is like, she's like crying. She's like, no. What's going on? And fucking the homie Stanfield.
Yeah. Yep.
I love that guy. Everyone loves that guy. He's great.
He's awesome.
And he's in it as some sort of converted black guy, converted into whiteness. But then he gets like a nosebleed and then he's freaking out.
Yep. That's all coming back.
Confounding. Looking forward to it. From the mind of Jordan Peele is what they say in the trailer.
Yeah, so, you know, this is Key and Peele horror.
It's Peele horror. Yeah, I don't think he's in that at all. It's Peele horror, which is... Man, I remember like 2 years ago, I think we even mentioned on this show.
We
brought it up. We're like, Key and Peele, they're blowing up. Key wants to do this, and Peele wants to make a horror film. Isn't that weird? 2 years later.
Here we go.
Oh my God.
Here's the horror movie.
This is it. He actually did it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't joking.
No.
And it's like, it's an actual...
It looks interesting.
And about race.
Yeah. Of course about race. Those guys, come on.
I am in. Those guys, that I like their viewpoints. And I think Keanu got railroaded a bit earlier this year. So,
correct.
Or last year. All right, so there you go. Get Out comes out that weekend. That's February 24th. Looking forward to it very much. And it looks like really nothing else coming out that weekend of note. So March 3rd.
The new Wolverine movie, Logan.
Fuck yeah,
with
man.
With Hugh Jackman and... Pat Stu doing R-rated Wolverine. R-rated. Fucking finally!
Which also, it's like, again, with the trailers, so morose. And it looks like a bummer of a movie in many ways.
Well, yeah, and then they're playing the fucking...
And then they play Johnny Cash Hurt.
Yep, Johnny Cash Hurt. And then you get this freaking... this poster. And just look at that poster.
Walking into the sunset.
And listen to Johnny Cash Hurt, and you're just like, oh, I totally know what's going to happen in this movie.
Logan's at the end of his long, long, brutal life.
And he's going to kill a lot of motherfuckers on his way out.
On his way out. And as you can see in the trailer, I think it's pretty damn obvious. The trailer ends with him burying Patrick Stewart, burying Charles Xavier.
Covered in blood.
Covered in blood and scarred up.
Fresh scars.
And looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah.
If a Wolverine movie makes me cry, I won't be pissed off.
I would not be pissed off.
I'll be pissed off.
That would mean that you're a man, Chris.
Why is Wolverine making me cry?
So because we'll it's some real shit, bro. That's why.
They're going to be getting heavy with it. From James Mangold, the guy who also did the Wolverine. That would be a huge step up from X-Men Origins Wolverine. Oh my God. Which...
Whoo.
That must have been a Fox thing, because Gavin Hood, who directed that, isn't a bad director. Ender's Game is a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
His first movie, Tootsie, is really good, so...
I mean, at least Ender's Game made sense, like, plot-wise and everything.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I have no idea what happened with Wolverine movie.
It was a movie from A to Z,
uh-huh.
As opposed to X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is like, what is this hodgepodge?
What is going on?
Why are his claws... Why does he have cartoon claws? He had Who Framed Roger Rabbit adamantium claws. Uh-huh. They were the fakest. And then he was staring at them. And no wonder he looked so perplexed. I was like, these are cartoons. These things don't even look real. Anyway. That weekend, you know what? It looks like just Logan is really the only one we got to worry about that weekend. So March 10th.
March 10th. Kong Skull Island.
Fuck yes.
Which, you know, like I've been saying, looks like Apocalypse Now with monsters.
That first trailer was for sure Apocalypse Now, 100%. I thought the exact same thing, too. I was so delighted when you said that. I was like, yes, I'm not the only one.
And even
the newer trailer makes it seem a little more action-y, obviously. A little more monster movie-ish.
Yeah, but look at this fucking poster,
the
man.
The poster is brilliant. And that's an image straight out of the movie. Of him standing, rising up in front of a setting, something like that. Fucking intense looking. The director, what's this guy's name? Not John Y. He's the guy that did Cop Car. John Robert Vogt. Jordan Vogt. V-O-G-T Roberts. Vogt Roberts?
No idea.
But this bearded fella, he directed a very small movie called The Kings of Summer, which is a sort of coming of age type thing about some... It's a summer story. A couple, I think they're brothers or they're friends, and they
do some stuff.
They hang out in the woods and they build a fort, and you know, it's a coming of age thing. So going from that to this is such a huge leap. And I just read a thing recently where the original screenplay for Kong Skull Island, because it's a prequel, right, to King Kong. The original took that much more literally and was set in like 1919.
Oh wow!
And then when this guy Jordan came onto the project, he thought to himself, "What weird King Kong movie do I want to see?" And for some reason, he thought of Vietnam, Vietnam era.
He thinks 70s military.
Yeah, 60s, 70s military. So he's like, so he changed the setting to 1969 so it could have a very heavy Vietnam War allegory and he could play with all that stuff. And then instead of having guys with, like, I don't know, what, muskets? What did they use in 1919?
Exactly.
Yeah, have guys with actual artillery and shit trying to go after all this stuff. And then also it makes, and I'm sure Legendary, and I think it's Universal, I'm sure they went with it. went with that idea, because in the long run, it makes more sense for what they want to do, because they are building up to Godzilla vs. King Kong.
Exactly.
In a few years. After Godzilla 2, they're going to do Godzilla King Kong. And if they did the original, this is set in 1919, but the Godzilla movies are very clearly set in the present day, that means Godzilla's taking on a century-old monkey.
Monkey?
Yeah. That's not a fair fight.
No.
That's not fair. And also, they had to upscale Kong, because Godzilla's so fucking big. He's 100 He's 100 feet in the new movie. No, he's 300 feet in the new movie.
Yeah, he towers over skyscrapers.
Yeah, exactly. So King Kong in the originals, he's like...
He's not... Dude, I mean,
he's 30 to 50 feet.
In the ranges. In the originals, they have him in, like, on stage in, like, an amphitheater.
Yeah, he's on stage in the 33 one and in the Peter Jackson one. I can't imagine... I can't remember the scene from the 70s one. I haven't seen that one in, like, since I was a kid.
Well,
the Jeff Bridges, right? Mm-hmm. And fuck, what's her name? Faye Dunaway?
Don't remember.
No, Jessica Lange. I think it was Jessica Lange. Anyway, yeah, exactly. So he's like at most 50 feet tall, mm-hmm. at most. And this new one in Kong Skull Island, they upped him to 100 feet, which still makes him a third of the size of Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
So are they going to up him again? They might have to.
They might have either that, or they might have to downsize Godzilla a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a massive
beast. He's massive. He's so stupidly big.
He could stand to lose a couple hundred pounds.
He was a few hundred.
Few tons.
A few hundred tons. Yeah, they could drop him to like 250, upscale King Kong's like 125. He's still half his size. Anyway, we'll see. I'm looking forward to Kong Skull Island.
Yes. It looks good.
It does look good. So we'll see. Also, it's got Toby Kebbell. Anything with Toby Kebbell, I'm down for.
Also coming out that weekend,
mm-hmm.
T2, Trainspotting.
Which is crazy. First off, it's crazy they call it T2. Yep. Danny Boyle loves movies. He knows T2 Judgment Day exists.
Yes, of course he does.
So you're a little insane, Danny Boyle, but he's insane. That's cool.
He is insane.
It's fun that he's going back to this all these years later.
It's fun that all the guys agreed to come back.
Everyone came back. Yeah, which is wild.
And it is, I mean, it's a direct 10 years later. What the fuck is going on with these guys? No, 20 years later? 30 20. Years?
20. At least 20 years. Yeah, at least 20 years. And I don't... It's T2 Trainspotting, but I don't know if they necessarily went off the book, because Irving Welsh, who wrote Trainspotting, did write a sequel called Porno with the same characters. But I don't know if this is actually taken from that book, or if they came up with their own thing, or if it's a mishmash. I have no idea. This could be another case of they waited too damn long for a sequel.
Could be.
That typically seems to be how it is.
Seriously, it all depends on the movie.
The movie and the story and the approach and all that. Maybe if someone else did it. Like, the fact that Denis Villeneuve is doing Blade Runner 2049 actually gives me more hope that'll be good than if Ridley Scott was going back to that. Well, I feel like really, I think I can kind of see in the Alien Covenant trailer, that shower scene.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
but, you know, I don't know. Ultimately, I have faith in Danny Boyle to make a good movie. I think Steve Jobs is criminally underrated, and we'll see. We'll see with this one.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for that weekend?
You tell me, buddy.
Let's see. What's this one? I'll be interested in this, actually. I guess this is going to come out. The Wall. You see that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's starring. It says it's starring.
John Cena.
And it's directed by Doug Liman. Doug Liman is the guy who his last movie was now known as Live, Die, Repeat, Colon, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
He also did Go. That's a movie that broke him.
Uh-huh.
He did The Bourne Identity. He started the Bourne series and established Matt Damon as a fucking action star. Doesn't get credit for that. He also did Jumper. So what the fuck, Doug Liman? You're not perfect.
Yeah, no shit.
Also a guy notorious for being finicky on set, for being somewhat indecisive, going over budget and not finishing on time, and being a pain in the ass in editing, and having some of his movies even taken away from him. And yet, he'll still come out. All of that'll happen.
And then
the movie's released, and it's Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You know, this is watchable, this is fun, and it makes a bunch of money, and then he gets to keep working.
Yeah.
Guy's got a charmed fucking life. and then every now and then he'll crank out an actual, like, really damn good movie like Edge of Tomorrow. This one, The Wall, it's about a guy who, it's like a war-type setting. And it's about a guy who's, like, stuck behind a small chunk of wall. Like, the entire movie. It's almost like a phone booth.
Okay.
He's stuck behind a small chunk of wall using it as cover. And, you know, people are trying to get at him. And he's trying to live. But the reason why I'm surprised that it's slated for March, I haven't heard much forward momentum on it. Last I heard was this was his next movie. And that was only, like, a year ago. So I'll be surprised if this actually gets released. But we'll we'll find out. That's the weekend of March 10th. All right, let's do March 17.
March 17, Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson and Dan Stevens.
Disney continuing their...
Real life remakes of their cartoon classics.
Yep, 100%. One of them includes The Lion King that Jon Favreau just signed on to do. So, yeah, if you like...
Come on, Jeremy Irons. You got that. He's still alive.
He is still alive.
Please, come on.
He's got that voice, man. He's got that voice.
Also coming out that weekend, Weightless. I have no idea what it is, but it's got Ryan Gosling, Michael Fassbender, fucking Batman, and not Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, not Jennifer Lawrence. I like not Jennifer Lawrence. I knew that title was familiar. This is the latest Terrence Malick. That's why the cast. That's why that cast, and that's why. Yeah. That's why I can't tell you who the lead is going to be.
Nope.
There's a good chance Ryan Gosling said he did this movie. There's a good chance he's not in it when it comes out. So, yeah. Or he's in the background just like wandering around looking at stuff, and then it's like, what the?
Or like all you see is his face.
Terrence Malick did The Thin Red Line with Adrian Brody as the lead character. And he shot the whole movie, and then he's hardly in the movie. He got Adrian Brody shows up the premiere and sees his role cut down to like 10 minutes. All of a sudden, Jim Caviezel's the fucking lead. Terrence Malick's insane. He's insane.
He is.
Anyway.
Also coming up, anything else coming up that we can really care about?
The Belko Experiment is the new James Gunn movie. James Gunn did what a lot of directors like to do. He wrote this one and produced it. Greg McLean, that name is really familiar. I need to look up this guy's name. I clicked on the wrong one. James Gunn wrote this, and he produced it. And it's directed by the guy, it's an Australian fella. It's an Australian horror director, the guy who did the Wolf Creek movies. And Rogue and stuff like that, but it's I've seen it described online as battle royale in an office.
Okay.
A very, very violent movie in which everyone fights to the death, but in an office setting.
Cool.
And Michael Rooker's in it.
I'll watch.
So there you go. The Belko Experiment, and Free Fire also comes on that weekend.
Oh yeah, Free Fire.
Free Fire. That's new Ben Wheatley.
Yeah.
And it's also his. I don't know if High Rise, did he write High Rise? I think Free Fire may be his first movie without his writing partner.
Okay.
Most of his movies he co-wrote with the same person. Or actually, I think she wrote the screenplays and then he may have given them passes, but she's like the
writer.
She's the writer, he's the director. I think this one he did both. And the whole movie's a shootout.
I was about to say, it looks like Shoot 'Em Up.
But
with everybody stuck in one warehouse.
Yeah, one warehouse, and everyone's actually shooting each other.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Armie Hammer looks weird. Yeah. Charlton Copley looks insane.
Everyone looks insane because of the 70s setting, the arbitrary period setting. Gives everyone the awesome-looking outfits.
Uh-huh.
And also Brie Larson's in it. So much like the other person I said before, much like Toby Kebbell.
Yes.
If Brie Larson's in something,
you'll see it.
I'm going to fucking see it because, goddamn, she's great.
March 24th.
March 24th.
The Power Rangers.
Power Rangers, god damn it. This is one of those, we're going to update something but make it gritty.
I cannot believe
it. We're going to make it cool. You're going to make it stupid, you fuckheads.
It's going to be awful.
It's going to be terrible. And who's this for?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I mean...
Or is this for 30 and 40 year olds?
The Power Rangers came out when I was a kid.
Yes.
And...
So people in their mid-30s.
Yes.
That's the nostalgia factor.
I'm not going to go see this piece of shit movie.
Why? Who would want to? Do kids today know about Power Rangers? Is Power Rangers? I don't know if that's still. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? That's been a cartoon the whole time.
Power Rangers has been on, TV forever.
In some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, it's real easy. I mean, they've got all those past seasons of Japanese TV that all they have to do is dub over.
All they did was dub over and re-edit them.
Mm.
Film nude scenes with Western actors and then just reuse all the action stuff. That's what they did. The trailer, it's fucking stupid. And you know what? Also, the trailer doesn't show any Power Ranger action yet.
No.
So let's at least hold out on that Power Ranger action. Let's see what that looks like in the marketing first.
Bryan Cranston's in it, apparently.
He is, who is he? I think he's just providing a voice. And what's her name? Elizabeth Banks.
Mm-hmm.
She's the green bad lady.
Okay.
I know nothing about the Power Rangers mythos. I never gave a fuck about her. My brother. Because my brother is younger than me. He was watching that stuff.
I was just on the cusp of it being like is this too kiddie or is this... Because the action was cool, but everything else was garbage.
That's the thing. If you're into like the Japanese stuff when you were a kid, then I could see that being an in.
Yeah.
So, sure. But anyway, Power Rangers, that's coming out.
Also coming out that weekend, Life.
Yes, with Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, and Rebecca Ferguson.
They go, what, to Mars?
They go somewhere.
Somewhere in space?
They go to somewhere in outer space, and they recover a satellite.
It looks more like...
It looks exactly like...
It looks like Alien.
Yes. It looks exactly like Alien. They recover a satellite that has some sort of life form on it. The life form gets loose, and then it's like... it's and they're like, we gotta quarantine you. And like, it's in the room with us. Like, oh my God.
I know exactly. It's like the Thing meets Alien.
Yes.
Meets whatever else. Space horror thriller.
So it's a template that works. Yeah. It's a genre template that works. There's no reason why it can't be a good movie. But the fact that it's already derivative of so many other things, it's gonna have to work harder to be good.
Correct.
So we'll see. And Life is not an inspiring title.
No.
Next.
Chips.
We talked about that. That's the Dax Shepard written, directed, R-rated Chips movie, which they just announced recently that it was going to be R-rated. So I'll be surprised if they make this March release date. This could be one that could be pushed back. Just the fact that there's even a poster yet, and they're saying this can come out in 3 months. I don't think so. We can skip the rest of that weekend. March 31st.
Ghost in the Shell.
Which looks insane.
It does. It looks...
Like it, completely it, non-commercial insane. I can't believe this movie got made.
Yeah. No, well, it has somewhat of a built-in audience.
Not that big, though.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see, Chris. We will see if the anime nerds and Scarlett Johansson lustites will combine forces to make this movie.
I feel like that Venn diagram is almost a flat circle. Almost. It's very close. It's like...
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Like that much not overlapping.
Let's add in some sci-fi weirdos. Same people.
Yeah, those are the same people. So we'll see. Like I said, the marketing...
it looks crazy.
Because when we're talking about these movies, it's a preview. All we have to go on is marketing, right? Yeah. And the marketing for this is they're being honest.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They're like, look at this...
Fucking weird ass shit.
It's an insane movie. Are you guys interested?
Yes, I am.
We're interested, that's for sure.
I'm very interested.
What, is a lot of America going to be interested?
We'll see.
America is fucking weird. They just voted for Trump. Also, it's a Rupert Sanders movie. Rupert Sanders is the guy who did... Let me double check that it is Rupert Sanders. Rupert Sanders is the guy who did... which one was first? Rise of the Planet or Dawn of the Planet? Rise of the Planet. Rise, woman, James Franco. He did that. And... But did he do it? I keep clicking on the wrong fucking button. I gotta see here. Rupert Sanders. Oh, yeah. Snow White and the Huntsman. That's what he did.
Which wasn't awful.
That's what he did. Excuse me. I said the wrong movie. No, it wasn't. It wasn't awful at all, actually. And the fact that the sequel, which wasn't directed by him, got such terrible reviews indicates that, you know, he really actually did a pretty damn good job with Snow White and the Huntsman. But then I was also... That's the movie where he and, like... Kristen Stewart were like hooking up, sort of. I don't think they ever. I don't know how much do we know, but they got intimate, and that broke up Kristen Stewart and what's his name, Robert Pattinson. No, and it also much more importantly, not importantly, but significantly, broke up Rupert Sanders' actual marriage.
No,
no celebrity couple broke up, but this guy's life is actually destroyed because of it, because of his very stupid decision. Well, he gets to continue work. Good for him. You know,
yeah.
That's how...
He got to make this crazy-ass fucking Ghost in the Shell movie.
Which looks fucking insane. And who knows? Maybe he got to grab some of that ScarJo booty.
Who knows?
I don't know what she's like. I'll go see it. Also, Michael Pitt is in it. Michael Pitt is a fucking notoriously difficult person to work with. Like, he is an asshole. To the point where...
Okay.
He was on Boardwalk Empire. Uh-huh. And they killed his character off much earlier than the writers intended to. Because they were like, we are done working with this guy.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And that's why he doesn't work that much, despite being a good actor.
I was about to say, he usually is.
It's usually when you see his work, it's like, this is good stuff. But apparently he's getting to a Klaus Kinski level of being hard to work with. And unless you're Klaus Kinski.
Yeah, which he is not.
That is not good. Not a good look. Michael Pitt, not a good look. If you don't want to see Ghost in the Shell, what else can you see that weekend?
The Boss Baby.
Sweet. The Boss Baby. One of these... Like, it looks like a fake movie.
Yes.
Like a Funnier Die skit.
Yes, but
Kevin Spacey is the voice of a baby, but he's the boss of everyone.
But it's animated, so, you know, whatever. Go fuck
it. Oh, it's Alec Baldwin.
And also
the
Zookeeper's Wife.
Jessica Chastain's in it, so I don't know. I'll watch her cuddle some lion cubs.
Sure.
For 2 hours.
Maybe they'll maul her.
I was hoping just for some bosom nuzzling. Yeah. I guess a mall will do.
April 7th. Wonder comes out.
I don't know what that is.
It's Julia Roberts. It's going to be big. Whatever it is, people are going to be like, what?
A young boy born with a facial deformity is destined to fit in at a new school and to make everyone understand he's just another ordinary kid and that beauty isn't skin deep. Starring Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, Jacob Tremblay, he's the kid from Room, and Mandy Patinkin, best known as Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepared to die. The six-fingered man, looking for the six-fingered man. Also Mandy Patinkin, another guy notoriously difficult to work with.
Interesting.
People fucking hate his guts. Anyway, I don't know what that is. Go see Wonder. What else?
Going in Style.
Going in Style.
Morgan Freeman, old man movie.
The tagline for
this. Oh, Michael Caine?
Michael Caine.
Alan Arkin?
Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Arkin. Going in Style. The tagline for this is, you're never too old to get even. So that should really tell you what you're dealing with.
Ooh,
here.
Old people getting even.
Crime comedy, desperate to pay the bills and come through for their loved ones. Three lifelong pals risk it all by embarking on a daring bit to knock off the very bank that absconded with their money. It's a comedy version of Hell or High Water.
Oh, okay, there we go.
There you go.
With Michael Caine.
With Michael Caine. Gotta do what you gotta do to keep the wolves from the door.
Also coming out that weekend.
People ask me all the time, Michael, what's your secret? I tell them, don't blink.
Also coming out that weekend, Smurfs, The Lost Village, because apparently you wanted a sequel to that awful movie.
Actually, I think this one, also with Mandy Patinkin, which is funny, Smurfs, The Lost Village is actually course correction. From the Smurfs movie with Neil Patrick Harris a few years ago that did not do very well and no one liked. Smurfs The Lost Village is an animated movie. I think it's 100% animated, not the Alvin and the Chipmunk style crossover nonsense. And in tone and in spirit, it's supposed to be much more like the original cartoons as opposed to the movie. So that's the idea there. And I don't know what slide is. So April 12th.
April 12th? You mean the 14th?
April...
Oh, wow. Okay, no.
Yeah, I have something listed as April 12th.
I have one listed as April 12th, but I got something... But Fast and Furious comes out April 14th.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess maybe the 12th is a Wednesday?
Probably. Anyway, that weekend, Gifted comes out.
Whatever that is.
With Jenny Slate and Chris Evans.
It's got Chris Evans, so, you know.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Also, The Fate of the Furious.
There we go. Yeah. Funny, IMDb has it listed as Fast and Furious 8, mm-hmm. because even though people see IMDb and they take it like as the Holy Grail, you gotta remember, it's like the Wikipedia of movie databases. It's user updated generated, so no one's gone in there yet to update the fact that this fucking movie is called The Fate of the Furious. What a terrible title.
Uh-huh.
My God. Awful title. Yeah. All that being said, fucking wild trailer.
It looks insane.
Vin Diesel's the bad guy now. What? Not the bad guy, but he's being forced to be a bad guy by
Charlize Theron. Who's got weird dreadlocks.
She's got some dreadlock type thing, and then at the end she's like kissing him, but she kisses him like she kissed Gary Sinise in Reindeer Games.
Right?
If you know what I'm talking about, then I am sorry that you remember that movie in that moment, because it's gross. It's like very open-mouthed, and it's like, ugh.
Not attractive at all.
Like, I don't want to look at this. You're attractive too, Charlize Theron, but first off, it's Gary Sinise, and second, like, you're just, oh, why? What are you, did you get paid enough for that? That's like $2,099. I don't know if she got paid well enough to, look like she was trying to eat him. Maybe she was trying to eat him.
Maybe she was.
And then failed, but they got it on camera. Like, oh, that kind of looks like a kiss. Fate of the Furious, sorry, I get it.
All right, coming out the next weekend, April 21st.
Yep.
The Lost City of Z.
Lost City of Z.
Starring Spider-Man, but he's not Spider-Man. Yeah, I mean, he's Spider-Man. Yeah, he's Spider-Man now.
He's the new...
He's officially Spider-Man.
He is now the new Spider-Man. He's the once and future Spider-Man. This is based on a best-selling book, The Lost City of Z. It's a true-life drama which centers on British explorer Colonel Percival Fawcett, who disappeared while searching for a mysterious city in the Amazon in the 1920s. So, spoiler alert.
He got killed by natives.
He probably got killed by natives, yeah. That role is going to be played by Charlie Hunnam, the Australian fella who was in Sons of Anarchy and in the Pacific Rim.
Correct.
Yeah, and what else was he just in that I found him underwhelming? And let me click on his name here. He was just in... He was Children of Men? See, now I got to rewatch Children of Men. Played a character called Patrick.
Hmm.
Do you remember who Patrick was?
No.
It's probably one of, like...
Probably one of the guys. Just one...
A flunky.
Yeah, one of the lackeys.
He was some flunky. Crimson Peak.
Ah, oh, yeah.
He was the doctor. Yes, yeah, he was the one that Mia Wasikowska had to save. Mm-hmm. Because he was the pathetic... Instead of the damsel in distress, he was the damsel in distress. Yes, I actually kind of like that role reversal type thing. That was pretty funny. But, anyway. Charlie Hunnam. Lost City of Z. Sienna Miller is also in it, as well as Rob Pat. Our Pat.
Sweet.
Yep. The sweetness.
Also coming out that weekend.
What weekend was that? I
21st.
I went back too far. April 21st we're on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
There's some weird-ass movie called Animal Crackers with Emily Blunt, Sylvester Stallone, and John Krasinski.
Looks like...
That's a weird cast.
Is that Aminated? A family must use a... Yeah, it's Aminated.
No, okay.
A family must use a magical box of Animal Crackers to save a rundown circus or remain taken over by their evil uncle, Horatio P. Huntington. I bet you Sylvester Stallone plays the uncle. He's like, hey, I want to buy a circus and all the animals, and then I'm not going to hunt them. I promise I'm not going to hunt them. I swear.
Sure.
I swear.
April 28th.
I swear. April 28th, here we go.
The Circle.
Yes, the
Circle. I saw a preview for this recently.
Did you?
Yes.
What can you tell me about it?
It looks like Emma Watson goes to work for Google. Google's run by Tom Hanks.
Okay.
But Google is Skynet, basically.
Oh, Google's evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
So.
I like that. Okay.
I mean, we've seen movies like this before.
Here's the tagline. Knowing is good. Knowing everything is better. The Circle. And that's actually a pretty good poster. You see that poster there? It's a maze?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. That's it's better than the typical floating heads bullshit you ever see, right? And then it says wearethecircle.com if you want to read more about that. April 28th. All right, cool. What's and then here we go. May 5th, beginning of the summer. Let's talk about them summer movies, Drew.
You get smacked in the face right off the bat with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yep. Marvel has staked the claim of the first weekend of May for years now. They've done it. They're like, this is us. We own it. Everyone get the fuck out of our way. And usually this spot is reserved for a Captain America or Iron Man featured Marvel film.
But everybody loved Guardians of the Galaxy so much.
Did so well. They have so much faith in it. They gave it the prime spot, which is unbelievable. And I love the poster.
It's awesome.
And it looks like a rock cover album or like they're like a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, love, love that ballsy ass tagline. You see that on the poster? You see the tagline for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Obviously.
Obviously. Obviously we made it Volume 2.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You guys saw the first one, right?
Oh, man. I'm in.
I mean, people are going to love this one even more.
Because
people loved Groot, and now Groot's a baby.
And now Groot's a baby. Oh, my God. He's so cute. It's like, I'm Groot. And you're like, yes. He's saying the same thing, but at a higher pitch. So they still get Vin Diesel to do it, and then Vin Diesel go, I'm Groot. Or did they have him say, oh, I'm Groot. And then they were just like, I'm Groot.
I did the wrong one, huh? I mean, you know what? I bet you Vin Diesel
didn't even have to go back in to record anything. We'll just use your old recordings. But we're still going to pay you the same amount of money.
Because he's like, you better pay me.
I'm fucking Vin Diesel.
You better pay me. It's hard to do a two-force with this filter. It kind of makes me sound like a
chick.
Like what's the word I'm looking for? Like a big brassy chick. Like I drink whiskey, and I smoke cigarettes, and I sing cabaret.
And you have been for the last 30 years.
And I have been for the last 30 years. Okay, I'm stopping.
I am Groot.
That's what he did, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. We're all going to see it. We're all going to see it. It's going to make a ton of money, and I'm looking forward to it.
May 12th, the new Amy Schumer movie, Snatched.
Yes, I think I saw something for this somewhere. Where was it? When her boyfriend dumps her, Emily, a spontaneous woman in her 30s, persuades her ultra-cautious mom, played by Goldie Hawn, to accompany her on a vacation to Ecuador. So Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer play mother-daughter.
And they probably get drunk and do stupid things in Ecuador.
They get drunk, do stupid things, and Christopher Maloney is in it.
Very nice. I wonder if he's going to be humping any refrigerators.
Please hump some sort of appliance, Maloney. That's all we ask.
Also coming out May 12th, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Yes.
Starring your boy Charlie.
Your boy Charlie Hunnam doing it, and directed by Guy Ritchie. So it's like, what if Snatch happened in Arthurian England?
Exactly.
There you go. May 19th.
May 19th. Alien Covenant.
Which we mentioned, and it's funny that they even put it on here, right here on IMDb, the third name listed.
James Franco.
Yes, which is like, he was never announced anywhere, nope. But who was it, IndieWire or someone put out there, they wrote an article, oh, James Franco is in Alien Covenant, like spoiling it for everyone.
I guarantee you Danny McBride was like, hey, yo.
I know a guy. It's like, what you need to do to play the alien? I know a guy.
I know a guy.
I know a guy who likes to expand his
he likes to do weird
acting,
shit.
His acting vocabulary. I'm totally going to see it. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it doesn't suck, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's got Sammy Watts' girl in there.
Yeah, she's the lead.
Yeah.
And I think it's rumored that she somehow plays some sort of ancestor, ascendant of Ripley, Ellen Ripley.
Interesting.
Which I would kind of hate.
Yeah, that would be gay.
Yeah.
That would
not gay.
No, that would be uncool. Sorry. I reverted back to my pre-Trump days.
Your 2008 form.
Yes. My bad.
You reverted. It's like when Cell loses an android and he reverts back to his imperfect form.
Exactly.
Like, no.
I just threw up Android 19 over here, okay?
Right. We'll eat it and then we'll get back to being cool.
Also, coming out that weekend, May 19th, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul.
Which, obviously, that first one made enough money that they're like, let's make another one.
I think there was already another one. I think this is the third.
Get the fuck out of here.
I do. I really do. I think this is the third.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's crazy. Things in life, Drew, they happen whether we pay attention or not.
Correct. Including, like, on May 26th, this awful movie called Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, is coming out.
The only hope I have for it is that it's new directors. The last one was directed by the guy who did, like, Chicago, and, his name is escaping me right now, but...
Dude, these movies haven't been good since the first one.
The second one definitely has its merits. The Davy Jones' Locker, all that stuff, Dead Man's Chest. The third one was a bloated piece of shit. The fourth one was just boring, but also a different director. This one, again, different directors. It's the people that did Contiki.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lower budget movie, but still nautical.
Yes.
And considering the smaller size of the story and the boat and everything, still quite entertaining and exciting. So we'll see what he can do with Javier Bardem as a... Salazar.
Captain, and Jeffrey Rush and Johnny Depp.
Captain Salazar. Oh, yeah, sure.
They're all coming back.
Yeah, they're all coming back. Yeah, sure.
Also coming out May 26th.
They like money, too.
Baywatch.
The Baywatch movie, which is like, you know what? Someone saw 21 Jump Street and was like, hey, what else can we... What other TV show can we turn into a sardonic, movie? It is directed by Seth Gordon, who, again... I'm always looking for something to latch onto to give me hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seth Gordon is the gentleman who did King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. And then he went on to do the first Horrible Bosses, not the second one. What happened with the second one?
It was garbage.
It was garbage. It was garbage. You got rid of the Seth Gordon and it wasn't as good. He also did Identity Thief, which isn't as good.
Yeah.
So it was kind of another forgettable one.
Yeah.
Which, that one does a thing where it pisses me off, where it's like, Winter Park, Florida, and it's shot in Georgia. Uh-huh. And then, like, here's a picture of a coastline. I'm like, fuck you, people. You don't know shit. Anyway, Baywatch movie with Alexandra Daddario, Priyanka Chopra. Oh, yeah, there's dudes in it, too. Sure.
Yeah.
Who's seen it for the dudes? It's Baywatch. I'm seeing it for Alexandra Daddario. That's a hard last name to say. Priyanka Chopra, who's making her switch from TV to movies. Pamela Anderson's gonna have a cameo. Kelly Rohrbach, I don't know who she is. She's cute. Charlotte McKinney, I don't know, she's good looking too, I guess. Angelique Kenny plays Surfer Beach Babe. Oh, that's not significant. Hannibal Buress is in the cast. David Hasselhoff obviously is gonna show up at some point. Rob Hubel, and then yes, of course, and Zac Efron. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson put that picture of him and the Hoff on his Instagram. That's from The Rock's Instagram. Both of them stand, and it's like, and he's writes this whole paragraph like, it's an honor to be here with the Hoff himself, blah blah blah, all this shit.
I mean,
you know The Rock's Instagram, what he's like.
I mean, you gotta give. I mean, whether you like David Hasselhoff or not, you've got to give him props for what he did.
100% and what he's done for his career, mm-hmm. for having a career,
yeah.
doing his thing.
Yeah,
it should have died after Knight Rider.
It should have, but
30 years later,
German pop music kept him alive for a while,
and then a little bit of internet notoriety with his drunken eating a hamburger on the floor. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I do. And then he's recovered from that.
Kung Fury,
and now the Baywatch movie. And Baywatch.
June 2nd.
Wonder Woman. I hope it's good. We're still waiting for that first DC extended universe movie that's actually good. We've had two of them so far, and they suck. So, will Wonder Woman be the first one, or will it be another what-the-fuck moment?
Well, we'll see.
We will see. June 2nd, we'll see. All right.
Do we care about any of his other movies?
Well, Captain Underpants is obviously for kids, but I see Nick Kroll's in it, so...
And Kevin Hart.
And Kevin Hart. Well, fuck yeah, Kevin Hart. Are you trying to make money or not? Get me Kevin Hart! yeah, so we don't care about anything else. June 9th.
The Mummy remake comes... Well, not the Mummy... The Mummy reboot.
Reboot, yes.
Comes out.
Yes, 100%. Sofia Boutella, the blade-footed chick from Kingsman, is the Mummy. Tom Cruise is the lead, which is insane, because it's the Mummy. It is Universal Monsters. So while it's still kind of action-adventure-y, it's also sort of horror.
Well,
and Tom Cruise has not done horror.
No.
Ever?
No, I don't think so.
Right? Yeah. So that in itself, very interesting.
I mean, do you consider Interview with the Vampire horror?
That's those Anne Rice vampires where they're like, we love being vampires. This is fantastic. Like, where's the horror? It's like, no, this is great. We wear white makeup and we live forever.
We drink people's blood. It's cool.
We have a lot of sex. We all look great. Look, there's Antonio Banderas. There's Brad Pitt. We look fantastic. No, that's not a horror movie. Interesting, though, that they got Russell Crowe in this, right? Because Russell Crowe is part of this new Universal Monster universe. And he's Dr. Jekyll.
Okay.
Because he's going to do the Dr. Jekyll Mr. Hyde movie. So they somehow managed to work in Dr. Jekyll into the Mummy movie already, ahead of time.
I guarantee you Dr. Jekyll is one of Tom Cruise's compatriots at the university where they both work.
the university, yes. There's always the university. 100%. That's why, again, Hollywood casting aspersions on academia and be like, we can't trust these people. Anyway, that's a weird stereotype. June 16th,
Cars 3.
Which has the poster of Lightning McQueen in the air, upside down, sparks everywhere, about to, in mid-crash.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this movie about?
Oh, he's about to eat it.
Let me click on it. Lightning McQueen sets out to prove to a new generation of racers that he's still the best race car in the world. So it's essentially the second half of Rocky 3. But in Cars version. We can skip everything else for that weekend and go right to June 23rd.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the possible All Eyes on Me Tupac movie? Apparently there's a Tupac movie coming out.
Oh, is that
called All Eyes on Me?
A chronicle of the life of rapper Tupac Shakur. Was he popular?
Yes, he was, Chris.
As a matter of fact, I think there are a couple of Tupac movies in the hopper, and I don't know, man. It's a type of thing where, like, it should be a good movie. There's no reason why you can't make a good Tupac movie, but there's also no reason why you couldn't make a good Notorious B.I.G. movie.
And they made a bunch of awful ones.
And they made a couple awful ones.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll see on that one. So,
and I just wanted to put this out there, Chris.
Yeah.
There's a movie with Scarlett Johansson and Zoe Kravitz, who both very attractive ladies, and it's called Rock That Body.
A male stripper ends up dead at a Miami beach house during a bachelorette party weekend. Scarlett Johansson, Kate McKinnon, Zoe Kravitz, Demi Moore. Ooh, MILF alert. Jillian Bell, she's very funny. Alana Glazer is super funny. She's one of the Broad City chicks. She's the one with the crazy hair.
Oh man,
as opposed to Abby Hoffman.
Oh, what was that movie with Christian Slater where the hooker dies? Very bad things.
With Peter Berg.
Yes.
It's a Peter Berg movie. Peter Berg directed that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think that's his first movie.
Man,
as a director.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, that's a fucking movie.
That's a fucking scary movie, dude.
And who played the hooker? A porn actress played the hooker.
How was it? I don't remember. I remember hooker dies, everybody else goes insane pretty much and kills each other.
Obviously, yeah. That's good stuff. That's how most movies should be.
Yeah.
About that hookers. And so maybe it's just the old gender switch thing with but Very Bad Things. A ladies version of Very Bad Things.
Could be.
I'm fine with that.
June 23rd.
Yes.
Transformers The Last Night.
They keep making money, so they keep making them. I saw something online that said the Transformers Last Night will open with the opening bit of text, so that no one has to see any of the other Transformers movies to be able to understand what's going on in this one. But then again, do you have to see any Transformers movies to understand? Again, if you do see all the Transformers movies, do you still understand what's going on in any of them?
No.
They're fucking dumb.
I mean...
And they're all the same.
I mean, in the last one, they were trying to find a way to, like, move around or like, fly somewhere or do something.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Optimus Prime just puts on his rocket boots and flies off into space.
What the fuck? Yeah, he had rocket boots all the time. You flew on planes. You drive around. every Transformers movie is the same thing, where Earth is caught in a battle between the Autobots and the Decepticons, and there's some sort of race to get some sort of MacGuffin on Earth somewhere that will stop the battle forever. In the first one, it's the glasses that leads to the Allspark. In the second one, it was like something else. God damn it, I hate these movies. I'll be there opening weekend to see that.
And also coming out that weekend, Halloween, The Night Evil Died. It's a Halloween movie, dude.
Yeah, but is this? I don't think this is that Blumhouse one. That
following the events of Halloween Resurrection.
It says that. That is weird because Blumhouse announced that they are working on a Halloween movie and that John Carpenter is producing it. So let me just look up here to see if Carpenter is listed as producer and if Blumhouse is listed. No, this is something else. I don't know what this is, to be honest. Let me see what the trivia says. No. I don't know how this is even possible, to be honest. I know nothing about this.
Okay. June 30th.
Yes, moving on.
Despicable Me 3.
Well, I didn't even know they were making that, but there it is. Tons of money. Good for them.
Also coming out that weekend.
Yep.
Amityville, The Awakening.
I think this movie was made like 3 years ago, and they keep pushing it back. I think this is the one that they keep pushing. But keep going back to Amityville, well, and it... The bucket keeps going back dry. I don't know why they keep doing that shit. Yeah. Idiots. July 7.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's going to be big. That's going to be a big deal. Marvel Studios, first crack at the Spider-Man character. People are going to flip for it.
Donald Glover's in this?
Donald Glover's in it, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Donald Glover, man. It'd be funny if he's playing a high school student. Like, we know you're 33 years old.
That would be awesome. If he was like Tom Holland's best friend or something.
Yeah. Like, what?
It's like, but you're... Oh, whatever.
You're practically double his age. We have the internet. July 14.
July 14, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yes, Matt Reeves, who did the last Planet of the Apes movie and who's a pretty good director. I really liked his version of Let the Right One In. Let Me In.
Yeah.
You know... It was pretty damn good, considering what it was, and I enjoyed the last Planet of the Apes movie, forward to this one. And this one has Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, you gotta watch out. I mean, the monkeys are riding horses and carrying guns on their backs now, so...
They're even...
Fuck.
They're a little more advanced. Yeah, and...
Fuck.
And two movies ago, they were riding on horses, but they were, like, standing on the horse, yeah. And they just left off it. This one, Caesar looks like he's in command of that fucking horse.
No, Caesar looks like he's in the, like... He should be in a Western. Like, give him a fucking hat.
Caesar looks like the boss. And apparently this is the movie where the first one is when Caesar becomes Caesar. The second one is when he becomes, like, the leader of the apes and everything. This one, War of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, is supposed to be the one where Caesar becomes, like, the legend Caesar.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. So, looking forward. It's been an interesting movie arc so far for Caesar and the way they've done it. I'm surprised that they've actually been cranking out some pretty good Planet of the Apes movies lately. So we'll see with this one. July 21st.
Dunkirk.
Yes, the new Christopher Nolan. He did a war movie. And it's got like everyone British that you need is in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has Michael Caine. But it does have Tom Hardy as a pilot. Cillian Murphy, I think is how you pronounce it. Mark Rylance, who just became Sir Mark Rylance.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Like just this last week. Harry Styles, who's a dude. He is a singer in a group. I think like One Direction or something like that.
Yeah, whatever that Britpop band is.
Some Britpop thing.
Those Brit boys.
And then he had to cut off his luscious hair for the movie. Kenneth Branagh, James Darcy, a bunch of people I don't know. English guy. A lot of English people. A lot of English guys.
I bet you
it's a war movie.
I bet you at one point in time, Kenneth Branagh went up to Christopher Nolan and was like, can we put my name in front of it, please?
Can we call Kenneth Branagh's Dunkirk? Can we call Christopher Nolan's Kenneth Branagh's Dunkirk? And Christopher Nolan's just like,
God damn it, Kenneth.
Go back
to work.
Get back to the craft service table and get me some cheese, will you, Kenneth? Kenneth, you're lucky I allow you within 100 feet of any of my sets. I'm Christopher Nolan. That's how I'd be anyway, which is a good thing I'm not Christopher Nolan. Also coming out that weekend.
This weekend. Also that weekend.
Yeah, July 21st.
Blah, 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 blah. I lost it. There we go. Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
Another wild-looking trailer.
Based on a comic book.
Based on a comic book. A French comic book, I believe. And... it's got Dane DeHaan, who I'm a fan of, and Kara
She was the
Enchantress
in that.
Which is, I'm not going to hold that against her.
Nope.
Not her fault.
Nope.
She was told to do extinguisher look. It's so fucking stupid. It looks wild from the writer, director, producer, Luc Besson, who how trailer throws out there from the director of the Fifth Element and Lucy's in like gigantic letters because I made a ton of money. And he's a hit or miss director, though.
I know, but it looks... From the trailers, it looks like he's going back to the Fifth Element. This looks like the Fifth Element 2.
It looks like the same universe. Yeah, like if they turn the camera to the right, Bruce Willis will be standing over
there. Yeah, just chilling.
Corbin, what is it, really name? Something Corbin
exactly.
Or whatever? With that weird...
Xander Corbin.
Xander Corbin. Is it really Xander Corbin?
I think so.
Damn, Drew. July 28th.
I think so. Hang on, I gotta make sure.
Now Drew wants to know. While he goes on, I'll go ahead and mention July 28th is when The Dark Tower finally comes out. The Dark Tower originally supposed to come out January, but they knew that it wasn't enough time for them to make the movie and market it as well. So they push it to July. A better release date, honestly, for a movie like that anyway. In January, it'll probably get overlooked and not make too much money. In July, it could honestly, if it's good, it can break out. Based on the Stephen King series of books, the Dark Tower series, 7 books altogether. Not a direct adaptation of them, but a loose adaptation sort of sequel, which... only makes sense if you've read the books. So, I don't know how this is going to work. All right. Honestly, guys, I don't know how this one's going to work out. But it has Idris Elba as the gunslinger, Roland Deschain, and Matthew McConaughey as the man in black. Nice. So, I am in. I am in. Did you find out? Did you confirm?
Yeah, it's not him. I mean, not the name of his character.
What is it?
I didn't look. All I know is not Xander Corbin. August 4th.
You son of a bitch. You could have thought it was right there. Okay.
The
emoji movie.
What?
They did it, guys. They did it.
What?
Not the tagline, not easy being meh. Go fuck yourselves. Everyone involved with the emoji movie. Up the butt. Did you want to see a talking poop emoji? Go see the emoji movie.
Yeah, seriously, right?
And that's pretty much all that's coming out that week. So August 4th, everyone go see The Dark Tower again.
Yeah.
August 11th.
Do we care about Baby Driver?
We do. You know why? It's an Edgar Wright movie.
Oh.
Yep. He made a car movie. Like you know, Tarantino made Death Proof?
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright also grew up on all that 70s car stuff. Two-Lane Blacktop, Vanishing Point, The Driver, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, etc., etc. So he made his own called Baby Driver. And the lead, who's the lead? It's this young guy. Trying to look up the name. I want to make sure I say the right guy. Ansel Elgort is this guy's name, which sounds like a 1920s jalopy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I saw, I was down at the car show and I saw they had this 1929 Ansel Elgort. Woo! Ran on corn oil. It's fantastic. But it's an action movie, it's a car movie, and the plot here is after being coerced into working for a crime boss, a young getaway driver finds himself taking part in a heist doomed to fail. Again, the main reason to be into it, Edgar Wright. So there you go.
Also coming out that weekend, Annabelle 2.
Because that first one made money, so let's crank out a second one. That's what you get, America. That's what you fucking get.
And apparently some European spy movie with Charlize Theron and James McAvoy,
The Coldest City. And Sofia Boutella as well, the once and future mummy. So, hey, who knows? Maybe that would be worth checking out. August 18.
The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, that's an interesting title. What does a hitman need a bodyguard for, right? But he's got one. Ryan Reynolds, Samuel Jackson, Salma Hayek. Ooh, I hope Salma Hayek's the hitman.
That'd be awesome.
No. Hope she's the bodyguard.
I have a feeling Samuel Jackson's probably the hitman.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm going to go with Ryan Reynolds as his bodyguard.
Yeah, likely. I like my version better. September 8th.
It.
Bill Skarsgård. Apparently there's another Skarsgård.
I was about to say, how many of these fuckers are there?
They're popping up out of the woodwork, man. This is the youngest one. The youngest Skarsgård. Even younger than Alexander and all them. It's, you know, the Stephen King story. I don't know, it's one feature-length movie. I don't know how they're going to pull that off because the original TV movie, it's two-hour movies, so it's 4 hours. And it's a long, I mean, the book is 1,000 pages, mm-hmm. So.
Make it an hour and a half, and let's go.
Yeah. Guys, we need as many screenings during the day as possible, so we'll see. We'll see how this version of the Losers Club works out.
September 22nd.
Yes.
The Lego Ninjago movie.
Lego Ninjago.
With the lesser Franco.
Dave Franco is the lesser Franco. That is 100% correct. Yes. September 29th.
American Made with Tom Cruise.
Okay, it's a Tom Cruise movie.
And Domhnall.
And the Domhnall. The first Domhnall sighting of 2017.
Yeah.
A pilot lands work for CIA and as a drug runner in the South during the 1980s. So just another standard CIA drug movie. Sounds actually kind of boring. October 6th.
Blade Runner 2049.
Fuck yes. That first weekend of October is a good sign for a release date that is... the first week of October is when studios start putting out movies that they feel is like, this will catch an audience over time. This can build an audience. This is going to be a good movie that people will be talking about. That's when Argo came out. Gone Girl came out around that that time slot.
So we're getting Blade Runner and Kingsman: The Golden Circle that same weekend.
Which is pretty intense. That's two genre movies the same weekend. So, oh boy. Also... interesting, that pair of glasses on the... I think those are Colin Firth's glasses.
Well, I mean,
on the poster.
It says he's in the movie.
He is in the movie. They had to bend over backwards to try to figure out a way to get back in there. What's his name?
Because, I mean...
What's this guy's name?
I mean, how could you not? After watching the movie, you're just like, so I want more Colin Firth!
He was so great. People responded to him. Matthew Vaughn, the guy who directed this, and it's actually... He's done a bunch of movies that have gone on to have sequels. He's never directed any of the sequels. He's come back for this one, which is a good sign. He said, if he had... really anticipated not only the success of Kingsman, the Secret Service, but also how much people really reacted to Colin Firth in that role, he would not have killed him.
Hmm.
He would have kept the character around so he could have put him in another movie. So they're like, we gotta find a way to get him back. We don't know if he's gonna be a hologram or it's a flashback or what, but he's coming back. October 13th.
That'll be interesting. I'm reading this. The thing.
What, the synopsis?
Mm-hmm.
And also, who's the villain is Julianne Moore. And Taron Egerton, obviously he's going to say this because he's promoting the movie, but he said the villain character they came up with for Julianne Moore is just like, whoa, like 1,000 times more than what they were doing with Samuel Jackson and his weird Russell Simmons Spike Lee crossover thing. I don't know what that character was.
But it's interesting because it says they work together with an American agency to save the world.
Ah, yes.
And then you see the name.
It's The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
No. Channing Tatum.
The Tatums. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he is.
That'll be interesting.
What Americans are in here? We got Channing Tatum, Jeff Bridges, Halle Berry.
It's Channing Tatum.
And those are the only three Americans.
Yeah. So he's going to be the American.
So it's them. It's the three of them. They'll be representing the statesmen.
October 13th.
October 13th.
Friday the 13th.
There you go. They were like, you know what?
Friday the 13th? Let's do it.
And this is another one where I think January there's a Friday the 13th. So it was going to come out January, either January or February. And they pushed that to October, which is smarter because it's Halloween time.
Also coming out that weekend, The Snowman. I only want to say that because it's called The Snowman, but it's got Michael Fassbender and Val Kilmer in it.
Detective Henry Hole, H-O-L-E, investigates the disappearance of a woman whose pink scarf is found wrapped around an ominous-looking snowman. Oh, it's a Thomas Alfredson movie. Thomas Alfredson's the guy who did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy and Let the Right One In.
Yes.
So, yes.
I'm in.
Yes, 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 yes.
Val
yes.
Kilmer, Michael Fassbender, yes.
Yes, Queen, I'm in. That's awesome. Totally in. Fucking Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is so good, man.
October 20th.
October 20th.
Insidious Chapter 4.
That's crazy. God damn, those movies make money. That's why James Wan is rich as fuck. Good for him. Good for him.
And The Mountain Between Us.
Whatever that is. It's got Kate Winslet, though.
And Idris Elba. Elba.
So,
yeah.
People that I like quite a bit.
October 27th.
Yes.
Saw Legacy.
Which is another one where the last Saw movie was called Saw the Last Chapter.
So, Saw Lugosi?
Saw Lugosi. It's a Saw Lugosi. And the thing with this one is the writers. Who wrote this one? Oh, they directed it. The Spierig Brothers. The Spierig Brothers are... They only do weird movies, man. Undead, the Australian zombie movie.
With the Triple Barrel Shotgun?
Triple Barrel Shotgun.
Fuck yeah.
They did Daybreakers, the Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe vampire movie.
Vampires During the Day, what a weird fucking movie that was.
And remember that Ethan Hawke movie Predestination?
Mm-hmm.
That weird fucking movie? That's those guys, the Spierig Brothers. They are directing the Saw movie, the Saw reboot. Not even a reboot, Legacy, because Tobin Bell's back as Jigsaw.
Man, maybe I'll actually watch this Saw movie.
It might actually be worth checking out.
I've never seen a Saw movie, Chris.
I've seen the first one. years ago when it, now years ago when it came out, and but none of them were that well reviewed. I think the first one is still the best reviewed of all of them.
Yeah,
it wasn't even that well reviewed.
It never interested me, like, in the slightest.
There's a reason why I never bothered with any of the sequels. But if this one is well reviewed, I'm gonna fucking see it.
Also coming out, Untitled Cloverfield Anthology movie.
I think this is God Particle. There's a movie coming out, a Bad Robot production, J.J. Abrams produced movie called God Particle, and it takes place in outer space. And for the longest time, after they announced 10 Cloverfield Lane and the whole Cloverfield anthology thing, people were saying, oh, this God Particle movie that's under docket, we bet you it's going to be wrapped into Cloverfield somehow. Well, the Cloverfield name will be slapped onto it. And then they just announced that very recently that, yes, God Particle is going to be a Cloverfield movie. I don't think they've announced the title for it yet, but I don't think they're sticking with God Particle anymore. Yeah. And then I read this descriptor, this logline before, but it's, you know, interesting enough, intriguing enough. A shocking discovery forces a team of astronauts aboard a space station to fight for survival while their reality has been altered.
Sweet.
And then if you think the original title is God Particle.
Yeah.
What does all that mean? That sounds heady.
Yeah.
It sounds like it could be really cool and interesting and out there. Or it could be complete shit. We'll find out.
Who knows?
November 3rd.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes. This one I'm really looking forward to. I can't believe I'm looking forward to a Thor movie, but I am. Like, totally.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Thor and the Hulk in some weird buddy cop thing.
In a buddy cop comedy, but through space.
Through space.
Through outer space.
And apparently Benedict Cumberbatch is in it.
Doctor Strange, he's the one who helps out Thor. He helps Thor and Loki, I think, get off Earth.
There we go.
Because they have that teaser, yeah. that scene at the end of Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Thor and Loki go to Earth to find Odin, who's hanging out in New York City as a homeless man. So they go find him, and then they go find Thor, finds Hulk. He's like in a planet somewhere where he gets thrown into an arena to do battle.
Planet Hulk style.
And then Hulk shows up with Hulk armor, and then they have to fight. But no, obviously, they get out together. Yeah. And then, like, oh, we're cool now. It's Thor and Hulk. We're a wacky team. It's Taika Waititi, man.
It's gonna be so weird.
Dude, Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows, so good.
It's gonna be so weird watching Thor Ragnarok.
Yes. Yes, even the logo, the Ragnarok logo, yeah. That's so 80s looking.
It is. It looks like Thundercats or Transformers. Yes. Or...
100%. Capcom.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I can't wait. I can't believe I can't wait for it, but I can't. All right.
November 10th. Some J-Law movie with Joel Edgerton, Red Sparrow.
A sexy Russian spy falls for a CIA officer and considers becoming a double agent.
Ooh, so Jeremy Irons is, yes, the sexy spy.
He's like, I'm a sexy Russian spy. I'm a sexy Russian spy.
I like how we both had the same thought. Yeah. Like, oh, Jeremy Irons is a sexy spy, of course.
Well, that was funnier than Joel Edgerton.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton's not sexy at all.
The following week.
November 17th, Justice League.
So if Wonder Woman doesn't do the trick, will Justice League be any good? Oh, man, it's looking less and less doubtful with these movies, man. Less and less doubtful. November 22nd.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
With Daisy Ridley, Johnny Depp, and Penelope Cruz.
Very, very popular movie. It was made in the 70s, I believe, with a gigantic cast. A huge cast. Albert Finney, Sean Connery. Was it Faye Dunaway? So many amazing people from that time period. So obviously they're trying to recreate that with their own modern cast of like what? So you're looking at Daisy Ridley, Johnny Depp, Penelope Cruz, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kenneth Branagh, Michael Pena, Judy Dench.
Oh, Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express.
It should be. Actually, did he direct it? Who directed this one? Kenneth Branagh. He did.
It is Kenneth Branagh.
It's Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express. So in this one, he gets his name on this one. And it's an adaptation. Another adaptation of the Agatha Christie novel.
I just love how Kenneth Branagh does that to all of his movies.
He does.
It's Kenneth Branagh's.
And if he doesn't, we will for him.
Yes, we will.
If you haven't seen the original Murder on the Orient Express, I recommend checking out. It's a Sidney Lumet movie. And Sidney Lumet is fantastic. He's made a ton of classics, Murder on the Orient Express being one of them. November 24. What is that?
Darkest Hour.
It's got the Bendelsohn.
Yeah, it also, I think...
Oh, it's a Winston Churchill movie.
Yeah, but you see that fat-faced bastard?
Yeah. Winston Churchill?
Yeah. Who's playing Churchill? Is that who I think it is?
Ben Mendelsohn?
No, that's not Ben Mendelsohn doing it, I think.
It's not John Hurt, because it says Gary Oldman, John Hurt.
I think it might be Gary
Oldman. Oh, it's Gary Oldman. Yeah, it's Gary Oldman. In makeup.
Yeah, it is. Gary Oldman plays...
Winston Churchill.
Of course he does.
He plays Winston Churchill.
I mean...
He's a charge against Adolf Hitler's army in the early days of World War II. So.
I mean, if he played a Jamaican, and I thought he was actually Jamaican. He can do anything.
He can do anything. He really...
And he's Gary Oldman. He can do anything.
Motherfucker really can do anything. This is a Joe Wright movie. Joe Wright makes Oscar bait almost exclusively. So this movie will be gorgeous and a little pretentious. He directed in a row Pride and Prejudice and Atonement, both of those nominated for Best Picture in the years they were released. He also did The Soloist and Hannah. Hannah was his action movie. Mm-hmm. And even then, you could tell this is a weird action movie, right? But this guy obviously cares more about the characters. Anna Karenina with, what's his name? With No One Saw That. And Pan, that terrible Pan movie that got panned.
Yes.
Everyone panned Pan. According to this, he also directed an episode of Black Mirror. I wonder which one. Huh. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing his name in one of the titles. Yeah. Joe Wright. Anyway, so that's that. That's, what was that one called? Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour.
All right, and that takes us into December.
Well, I mean, we're missing a week here, obviously.
Well, that's because it's the end of the year, yeah, but let's wrap this baby up.
December 15th.
December 15th.
Star Wars Episode 8, and I am very excited for seeing the second name on that. Do you see that? Do you see that name?
That doesn't make any sense. No way. I bet you that's IMDb tomfoolery. Tom Hardy is not in this movie.
Are you sure about that?
Let's see. Does he even have a character name? Let's see here.
I don't know.
Tom Hardy, it says he's a rumored to be a stormtrooper. I bet you that's a bullshit, bro. That's bullshit. That's why...
It could be.
You can't trust this. It also says Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One, is in this as an actor. So that's a bunch of...
He could have been a stormtrooper, too.
So let's see.
You see, the thing is, with movies like Star Wars, depending on who's around and who knows who, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, you know, anybody could have walked up and been like, man, I've always wanted to be in a Star Wars movie. I'll be a stormtrooper, bro.
It's like Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig is a stormtrooper in Episode 7. Exactly. Simon Pegg got a role in that movie as well.
Uh-huh.
I am hoping, knock on wood, that Benicio del Toro gets a role where you can actually see his face and he talks. Because I'm totally on board with this whole Latinos in space thing.
Yeah.
I'm totally with it. And goddamn, Benicio del Toro, I got so mad when he dropped out of The Predator. So mad he was going to be the lead in that movie. Now we've got this Boyd Holbrook motherfucker. So at least he's going to be in Star Wars. Yeah. Man, if Tom Hardy shows his face in any capacity, I'll shit my pants right there. Right there in the theater. People are like, is that Tom Hardy? And did someone just shit their pants?
I think someone just shit themselves.
I think yes to both. Yes.
Yes.
Yes to both.
December 22nd, Jumanji.
Yes, the Jumanji remake with Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black.
Also coming out that weekend, Pitch Perfect Trace.
Because Pitch Perfect 1 and 2 both banked.
And Downsizing.
It's a Matt Damon, Kristen Wiig, a Christoph Waltz movie. I bet you it's a comedy. It's a comedy. A social satire in which a guy realizes he would have a better life if he were to shrink himself. Kind of a magical realism type of thing going on there. Oh, it's an Alexander Payne movie. Okay, fine. Alexander Payne, who directed The Descendant, Sideways, About Schmidt, Election. I mean, this guy is a fucking something of a modern legend. And also, apparently, an asshole.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. Yeah.
And December 25th, The Greatest Snowman, something with Zac Efron.
Something with Zac Efron and Rebecca Ferguson. She has like three movies come out this year after really breaking out with the last Mission Impossible movie. The story of American showman P.T. Barnum, founder of the circus that became the famous traveling Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. So, The Greatest Showman, which I initially read as The Greatest Snowman, which I thought then it was some sort of animated film for Christmas. But no. Rebecca Ferguson, Michelle Williams, Zac Efron, Hugh Jackman is P.T. Barnum. So I'm down with that. Oh, there you go. That was your year in preview.
Preview.
We're done. If you're looking forward to any of those movies, let us know. Email cinemacrespiso@gmail.com and let us know what you're looking forward to, what you're not looking forward to, and we'll read it in the next episode of the show. We're out of here. Thank you, Drew, very much. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the interwebs. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
What are you doing this Saturday?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, shit. The beginning of the show. Damn it. Should I do a commercial? No, I'll just say it now. Guys, we're going to be at Johnny's Other Side on Saturday from 3 to 6. Drew and I will be guests on the Sorby Jones show. But instead of going out to the Shedio out in Lake County, we're doing a live podcast of sorts from the patio, I guess, the patio area of Johnny's Other Side. We'll be getting some beers and some burgers, and we'll be celebrating birthdays. The point is,
it's a birthday brouhaha.
It's many people's birthdays in the month of January. We've discovered between our two shows. So, and I also told him, I was bugging him. I was like, man, we gotta be on your show, bro. Get us on your show. You've been on ours. How come we haven't been on yours? What, you don't like us? So we're doing this. It's a get together. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Johnny's Other Side from 3 to 6. I don't think Johnny knows we're gonna be there. We're just gonna show up and take over the patio for a couple hours. So if you wanna come, hang out, watch us talking to microphones like a bunch of assholes, and then get some stickers. We'll make sure we have stickers on us.
Oh, how funny, stickers.
And yeah, come say hi. Yeah,
we'll be there.
We'll be there. Awesome. All right, guys, we are out of here. Talk to you soon.